If you're here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say amen. What a blessing that those who trust in Jesus, we have not only hope in this life, but that life. What a blessing. I tell you, we were at Miss Pam Pace's homegoing service yesterday, and what a service that was. Great preaching, lifting up Jesus, and hearing the stories about Miss Pam. And me personally, I've only known her a while, but I wish I knew her a whole lot longer than I did. But we'll be reunited with her one day. And you do please continue to remember the Pace family, the boys, and the homegoing of their grandmother. And, of course, that was yesterday. And then last Saturday, Miss Sharon's homegoing service. And I tell you, we're just sending them home. Like the preacher said yesterday, he says the family circle, Brother Harold, is getting bigger over there and smaller down here. But one day we will be connected, and what a blessing that is. So good to be here this morning. And you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Lord's here. The Lord's here. And he's here because we're here. He dwells in our bodies and those that are saved. And so we have thought about this service all week and prayed about it. And I've been looking forward to it, and I know God wants to. I'm not just saying that. God wants to do something this morning. I mean that with all my heart. If I didn't mean it, and if you didn't know it, then why come together? We'll be meeting in vain, just a religious exercise. But we'll leave that to all the cults. Okay, this is a relationship with Jesus. He is here, and he wants to meet with us. And so, thank you so very much for coming this morning. I have several things to mention. And then we will toss it back. We'll pray and toss it back to Brother Allen. But please continue to remember Miss Diane Ely, and talk to Brother Randy or messaged with him this week. And he says not too much good news coming from their way. She has some complications, still trying to recover from her back surgery, and more tests coming up. And so Miss Diane, Brother Randy, you watching, I know you are listening. We love you guys. We are praying for you. We mean that, earnestly praying for you, Miss Diane, that you would be healed from your surgery. Continue to remember Miss Dawn Daly as she's getting better from her UTI. which can cause dizziness and fainting spells and nausea and all those things. And so please remember her. Please continue to remember Miss Bonnie Carmichael and her sickness and the time she's going through, along with her husband, Jim Carmichael, as well. And just a lot going on in that household. Please, 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 please just remember them. Please remember Miss Lucille Turner. And I know she's in Dallas at a rehab facility. I'm not really sure the name, but I know she's there. I just actually found behind the old Paul and Cal. I know exactly where that's at. Okay. Just remember her. Message with Brother Snyder this week, and the prayers are that she would just eat and try to get some strength to get up and move around and those kind of things. But do remember her, if you would, in prayer. But she's in Dallas. And many others on our prayer list, we need to just remember in prayer. Of course, Miss Nancy Farmer and BJ and all those who have been sick. And a lot of sicknesses going around, so just remember all these people. And we would appreciate that. A couple of reminders. We have actually, I'm happy to say and happy to announce that next Sunday morning, following the service in the fellowship hall, we're going to have a Valentine's luncheon for widows and widowers. Okay? A Valentine's luncheon for widows and widowers following the service next Sunday morning. We want to honor you, bless you, call attention to you, and just love on you is what we want to do. And so please make plans on joining in if this is you. All right. Spring Jubilee right around the corner. And March the 2nd through March the 6th, that's Sunday through Thursday. We'll have a lineup for you, the good Lord willing, probably next week coming out to you. And we'll start mentioning those things, so remember that. And one last thing, I guess Brother Trail, he's in monitoring the halls, but he told me the other day that today is his 15-year anniversary as being a member of Calvary. And so we just wanted to give a, you know, he was excited about it, and I'm excited about it. That's awesome, and I just wanted to shine the light on that. And what a blessing that is, having Brother Trail here. And so, all right. Well, we got one more prayer request here. Let's remember, if we would, Chuck Prestridge, Uncle Alan Martin. He had a stroke. He's recovering, and he needs our prayers. His wife Sharon is what the note says, and so maybe some a salvation in question there. So just remember that when you pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for all things. Thank you, Lord, for the good crowd that we have today. Hungry hearts is what I see. Eager spirits to meet with you, Lord. And so I pray, God, that you would just remove us out of the way. Bring to our remembrance the things that we thought about, pondered, and studied. I pray you'll have your hand on Brother Allen, the choir, Brother Randy, Lord, and Miss Catherine. Even the sound and audio, or the sound and video team in the back, Lord, I pray that they would have their hand on the equipment, Lord, and not missing anything. We're so thankful for them and what they do. And God, I just pray today that you would move in a mighty way and to comfort those who need comforting, heal those who need healing. But at the end of all of that, God, I pray that we'll find our way to you and walk closer to you. We love you today and we thank you. Save the lost, bless the saved. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Brother Al.
Morning. And if you have a hymnal, turn with me to page number 393. We sing about what a meeting that's going to be. I want to go right along with that and give you an opportunity to sing "When We All Get to Heaven." What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Church, stand with me, choir, stand, and let's sing together. Page 393. This morning on this Lord's Day. Yes. It is the first Sunday of February, and we're moving right along. Today's February the 2nd, am I correct?
Yep.
On March the 2nd, somebody tell me what that starts. All right, very well. Mark that in your calendar. Yeah, that's a long time ago. We're invited to this happy jubilee. Y'all remember that? Anybody remember that with me? I remember every Sunday morning getting up and getting ready to go to church and listening to the Gospel Jubilee. Boy, that dates us back, doesn't it? But that was some great times, and I'm glad that we still sing some old-fashioned songs like that.
Amen,
bro. And it was, those songs were just full of the gospel, and that's what we need to share. And there's a lot of different types of music. I don't knock any of it, but I want to tell the story of Jesus and what we sing. Amen. I want people to be pointed to Calvary in what we sing. I want us to sing songs that would be a jubilee and be a joyous time in the house of the Lord. Amen. I have often thought about this. One of these days I'm going to leave this walk of life. And I've sat down. I know Amanda probably thinking, would you please not be talking about this? I have sat down over the past years and I've written out the songs that I want sung. I've written out who I want to push me down that aisle. I've written out some things that I want to be said in the service. And that's all because one of these days I'm going to heaven. And you can't assure me that that won't happen today. For me or for you. We're not promised another day, not another tomorrow. So live life that way. That's not to try and bring a shadow over anything, but it's a joyous time when we leave this walk of life to enter into that one. Amen? We heard this morning, and I would tell you this morning that heaven's sounding just a little bit sweeter as the days go by. Am I right, Gene?
Yes.
We've got more to go to heaven for than we did yesterday. Amen? So live life that way. Go ahead and make some preparation. The greatest preparation that you could ever make would be to know for sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you don't hear anything else I say today, make sure that you are born again. Make sure you're saved and your name is written down in heaven. And if that is true, then we ought to all be on our feet at the same time just worshiping and praising Him today because He's worthy. Amen. If you've been praying about becoming a part of the choir, 4 o'clock today would be a great time for you to be here. We're going to start today working on songs that we're going to sing for Jubilee on March the 2nd. If you have been a part of the choir and you want to come back, this would be a great opportunity. If you say, you know what, I don't know if I can give you a month. I don't know if I can give you 6 months. I don't know if I can give you a year. Won't you just give God the talent that you have and come and get back in this choir and let's sing and worship the Lord together.
Amen.
I challenge you, and I would sure love to see you here today at 4 o'clock. All right, that's enough. That's enough from me. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and just ask the Lord to do something in the service today. God is here, and He wants to speak to us. Let's ask Him just to draw us closer to Him. Then when we leave this place, we'll be able to say that it's good to have been in the house of the Lord. Brother Brian, would you take us to the Lord this morning in a word of prayer? As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He's carried me through. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful.
Rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you, and I know I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. Is faithful and true.
time we sing this song, I think about my favorite line in the whole song is that every morning His mercies are new. And I'm just a lady trying to raise a family that often seems a little crazy. But, you know, it just reminds me that every morning, no matter what our day has been, no matter what craziness that our day might bring to us, and we all live that way. It's just day by day. But I'm so thankful that even if I mess up, that the next morning He's going to give me new mercies. And I'm just so thankful that He's proved Himself to me so many times when I did lack understanding. He still showed me that He was faithful and He would do the things that He promised He would do. And I'm just so thankful for that. I'm thankful for new mercies. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful that He just always proves that He's going to do what He said He would do. And I'm just very thankful for that.
Sing the chorus.
This music this morning. Appreciate the words of those songs. Our Redeemer is faithful and true. I did ask the girls if they would sing a special before preaching time this morning. And so you pray for them as they sing this song this morning.
Worship you. I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. My soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Blessing. What a blessing. Isn't it great seeing our young people sing to the Lord? And Lily and Presley and Shiloh a bit earlier. What a blessing seeing young people serving the Lord. And let's remember our young people. My goodness, they are up against it. And define it. Well, it's a lot. And it's hard to define what they're up against, but young people, we are for you. We are on your side. We love you. Appreciate you. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5. 2 Kings, chapter number 5. And as you're turning there, I want to say that the good Lord willing, I'm going to do my best to bring an encouraging message this morning. Message of hope. And this message this morning has a young person as its main subject. young girl. This message is for young people, but it's also for middle-aged and older people. It's for all of us this morning. But the Lord began to speak to my heart about this little maid in 2 Kings chapter number 5. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read verse number 1 down through verse number 15. Father, we love you. We thank you. And of course, we praise you, Lord. You're worthy. Whether we feel like praising you or not, Lord, we praise you. And let the rocks keep silent. We want to offer our praise this morning. So praise the Lord. Father, I pray for the next few moments that you would hide me behind the cross. Give me a clear head, a calm heart. Help me not be in any rush to get this message out, Lord. God, you know, as you've instructed me, even my introduction as we studied, Lord, it's all important. Of course, not as important as your word, but we want this message to be understandable and be simple. So as we begin to take the church down a path this morning, I pray it'll be easily understood. And I pray that we would all be encouraged. Thank you for those who are here, those watching on Facebook, those listening on our webpage. Lord, we do not take it for granted. Bless today, I pray. Save the lost and bless the saved. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. 2 Kings chapter number 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria!" Exclamation point. "For he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go. "I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed, took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. I want to stop reading there this morning. That's reading out of 2 Kings 5, verse number 1 down through verse number 15. And as I said a moment ago, that we really want to not so much draw our emphasis on Naaman as we do this little maid this morning. And we've shared before many times through the years about Naaman, the captain of Syria, and how that he was a very honorable man. But he had leprosy, verse number 1 says. Naaman was captain of the host of the king of Syria, a great man with his master honorable. But he was a leper. You know, I got to thinking the other day reading this that I can look across my life and I can see God's hand here, God's hand here. The blessings of God on all four sides, front, back, left, and right. But there always seems to be something that I'm challenged with that stands in the way of me truly worshiping the Lord. Is there something this morning in your life? Is there a but in your life? It's just something to think about. Naaman was this mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And so we mentioned that before. Also, verse number 11, I want you to notice about Naaman, that the Bible says, but Naaman was wroth and went his way and said, behold, I thought. Naaman had a preconceived idea of how his healing would come. He thought he would go up to Elisha's house and knock on the door. He would come out and he would say, be healed. It didn't go that way. Elisha, in fact, didn't even come outside. Boy, sometimes people in our church are sick, and of course we try to visit everybody, but to come and not even come outside when you come, say, Brother Justin, I need some prayers, I need help, and for me to just stay inside and ignore you, that would be kind of harsh. Naaman, he thought the man of God would come outside and he would just heal him on the spot. But there was another plan. There was another plan. And that plan was to go down to the Jordan River and dip seven times. Of course, Naaman had a problem with that. Verse number 12, we see that Naaman mentions a couple bodies of water there, rivers in Damascus. And so he was trying to make sense. Well, if I'm going to dip in any water, why can't it be in this water? Doesn't that sound like us a lot of the times when we're living our lives and God is directing us this way, but we feel like we need to go this way? And we try to rationalize and we try to normalize God's will for our life. Naaman thought. Let us be open-minded for God. Let us not box Him into the way that He has always worked in our life. Now, praise the Lord that He has worked in our life. We could all give testimony of that. But I feel like that God sometimes wants to do a new thing. And sometimes because of our past experience and how God has worked, we say, well, God can only work this way. Listen, this morning, we serve a God whose ways are higher than our ways. Let us be so in love with Jesus that we take the guardrails off and take the blinders off and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I think we ought to be going this way, but you have us going this way. I submit to you, O Lord. And so finally Naaman submitted. He submitted and he went down to the river Jordan, and one time, two times, three times, four times, five times. And you know, I've always thought this. Naaman could have quit at the sixth time dipping in the river Jordan. This is ridiculous. I'm a fool. I'm wet. I'm nasty. I just quit. But he didn't. He listened to the words of God from the man of God. And on that last time, he dipped. He was made whole. Some of you this morning, this is not the message, but some of you this morning may be walking out on your last prayer. You have prayed a prayer and you're trying it. If it don't work, you're quitting. Don't quit. Your healing, your direction, your intervention from God just might be on that last time when you're ready to throw in the towel. The number seven in the Bible means perfection. God is in the perfecting business. He wants to mature us and grow us and sharpen our faith. And so we see that Naaman dipped and he was cleansed. In verse number 15, he trusted in the Lord. What a blessing this morning to see how God worked in the life of Naaman. And so we see that all of that happened. But this morning I want you to notice and listen along before we point out some verses that at this particular point in Israel's history, God had given Syria victory over Israel. And really pay attention to this, follow along. God had given the enemy victory over Israel. And again, God used captain of the host of Syria, Naaman, to do so. And the Bible even says so in verse number 1. It says in the middle of that verse, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. As you know, and as I know, Israel had been rebellious against the Lord, as they often had been. Therefore, God allowed an attack from the enemy, Syria, to get their attention. Last Sunday morning, we preached heavy on sin. We're not going there this morning, but I will say this, that God gives ample amount of time for repentance. And listen, God, he tries to get our attention, and he's merciful and he's gracious. And sometimes if we don't respond and repent over our sin and the thing that has put a wedge between us and God, we are tempting God. We are trampling underfoot the grace of God. And I'm not going to lie to you, there's some situations going on right now in the world and even locally, and even a situation or two here at the church where there's been some that's got out of church, they're not coming anymore, and they're going the wrong way away from God. And I'm so concerned. They are trampling underfoot the grace of God, the mercy of God. God, listen, God is kind and God is gracious and God is patient. But don't tempt the Lord God to chastise and correct your life, because he will do it. That's his obligation as father. As father. And so we see that Syria had also besieged the land of Israel and taken their goods. In this besieging, a little maid, that word maid means girl or young woman, she was taken into captivity. Look at verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid or a little girl, and she waited on Naaman's wife. This little girl, listen to me, she was removed from all that was familiar to her. She was taken away from her family, from her friends. I don't know how old she was. I'm thinking that she was a teenager. I don't know. Maybe about to be a teenager, 11, 12, 13, 14, maybe somewhere along in there. She was a little maid. She was a little girl. And she was taken from her familiar place in life across the land. And now she was a servant to Naaman's wife. She was a slave to Captain Naaman's wife, far from home, in enemy territory. She didn't ask for this. She didn't ask to be taken captive. She didn't ask to be kidnapped. She didn't ask for this. Yet this was her new forced purpose in life. She didn't ask for it. She was drafted into it. But I want you to notice this morning, something amazing happens in this story. Something God-centered happens in this story. This little maid, she played a huge part in God's plan in Captain Naaman getting healed of his leprosy and trusting God as the one true God of all the earth. She had a role in that. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach for a few moments on the little maid. The little maid. You know, sometimes we feel we have to have it all together before God can use us. Or sometimes we feel we are so insignificant that God wouldn't dare to use us. Well, Brother Justin, I'm just a little kid. I hope God will use me one day. Brother Justin, I'm older, but I'm uneducated. I hope God will use me one day. What kind of God do you think God is? God is the one who endows a person to be used. God's the one who takes the least likely, the unlikely, and you. This is the kind of business that God's in this morning. Why, he took a little boy's lunch and said, God said, Jesus, this is all I have. And he gave it to him. And God took it and blessed it and fed the multitudes. Listen, it don't matter how old you are this morning. It don't matter how crazy life is this morning. God wants to use you. And God is in everything. God works through everything. Even that complex problem that you thought that blindsided God, even God has a purpose for. Do you believe it this morning? Say amen. Amen. If I didn't believe that God was in complete control, I would be a burdened guy this morning. I would be miserable if in this life only we have hope. We're of all men most miserable. And if we have a hope to come, and we have a confidence of heaven, later we know that God is working now. This morning, the little maid, it may seem that your circumstance may be too complex or meaningless. You may feel like you're spinning your wheels and like God is not interested in you. Well, not in the case with our Christ. He is our very present help in time of trouble. He is with us always. He is working in your situation and mine, your dilemma. Listen, your dilemma does not hinder God's will from being done. Your crazy situation does not dictate what God can do. This little girl was taken captive, made a slave, yet God used her. I want to say this morning, young person, God wants to use you. Middle-aged person, God wants to use you. Older person, God wants to use you. Yeah, Brother Justin, but you just don't understand how my problem is and what I've done. Blah, 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 blah. Hogwash. God wants to use it. The song was sang yesterday at the homegoing service. What was it? The Broken Pieces, Brian Melita. That's what we're saying, song, whatever. God takes the broken pieces. If we came from the dust of the ground and God formed man and man was made and man blows it and man breaks it, Guess what? The potter can remake it. He can do it. God is in all. This morning, please catch this. Please be encouraged. Whether you've done wrong or done right, you have somebody that can put it all together. I love what Brother Berman used to say. He says, make them Lord of what's left. Make them Lord of what's left. This morning, we will see from the story of this little maid how God can work and use anyone in any circumstance. Oh yeah, young person, you're ready. You may not think you're ready, but you're ready. Oh yeah, middle-aged person, you're ready. You may feel like you failed the Lord. No, listen, you're ready. Older person, you're not dead yet. Amen. You're still alive and you're up. You're taking nourishment and you're at the house of God. God has a purpose for you and God has a plan for you. And whenever He's done with you, we'll be preaching your funeral. Just like when God's through with me, someone will be preaching my funeral. So this morning, let's look at some things. Number one, I want us to notice her courage. Her courage. Verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and verse 3. Notice, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria! Exclamation point. I believe she said it with that kind of emotion because of the punctuation. It's almost like she heard about Naaman and she heard the wife talk about him, and she was working through her emotions. She was taken captive and she was away from home, and maybe she was, I don't know, wrestling with bitterness, and maybe she was missing home, but she must have heard Naaman's wife and others talk about his leprosy. How did Naaman do today? Oh, he did good. He was out and about, and he was assuming his responsibilities. Yeah, Miss Naaman, but how about his leprosy? It's bad. I'm not going to lie, it's bad. He just wishes that he could get up and go to work and not have to deal with that. You know, people don't even want to be around him. Some places he can't even go. If this leprosy was just gone, then he would be so much better. I would be so much better. You see, this morning, this little girl could have had bitterness and anger. This little girl this morning, she served Naaman's wife in verse number 2. She must have heard the stories and updates of Naaman. I want you to notice in verse number 3, her suggestion. Her suggestion. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then verse number 3, and she said unto her mistress, listen, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What do we see there this morning? Well, we see her suggestion. Her suggestion. She had a moment where she had courage that came from God. She had a moment where she heard all that she could hear. She had a moment where she was reflective on the God of Israel and what He had done, and the prophet Elisha, and all of those things were upon her heart and in her heart. And so she decided that she's going to stick her nose in her business. She didn't have to stick her nose in anybody's business. She could have stayed silent, for after all, she is a captive. But not only that, she could have felt like her suggestion would have been rejected and ridiculed. She could have had a fear of even suggesting Elisha and Israel. She could have felt like her young age would hinder what she had to say. She could have felt like being a servant or slave. No one would listen to her. But this morning with this little girl, this little maid being taken captive, we see her courage. She believed in her God enough and believed in God could work in her foreign circumstance enough. And she heard the weeping, the crying of Naaman's wife, and it went to her heart and cut her heart. And so on this particular day, she said, "Hey, I know a God in Israel. I know a prophet in Israel that could come along and that could heal him of his leprosy." I want to say this morning, no matter our age or circumstance, let us see God in everything. Be ready, have courage, step out on faith to be a witness for Him. Even when you may feel like you've been betrayed by a friend, you may be bitter about something, you may be in a complex situation, you may feel like just being discouraged and which leads to depression. But I'm here to tell you this morning, be like this little maid. Be like this little maid. Have the courage knowing that your God can change a person's life. Have courage enough to step out on faith and say, "Hey, God can when you can't." So she was a witness. And she shared some good news with Naaman's wife. This morning we see her courage. But I want to take a step further and go a step further and not only look at her courage, but look at her compassion. Her compassion. Again, she was in verse 2, this little girl who waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3, she was compassionate. This little girl could have harbored bitterness and anger, and it could have held her back. But she had compassion in the face of hardship. Let us have compassion on others, even when we're going through hardship. Easier preached than lived, but even if you have been betrayed or someone has defriended you and you feel like you've been wronged and you have opportunity to get even, let us have compassion instead. Let us have compassion. So we see this little girl, she served as Naaman's maid. She was her help. And she listened to the conversation. She heard the crying of Naaman's wife's husband. Naaman's wife and crying over her husband's illness. This little girl, her heart must have been saddened and hurt for her and Naaman. So the question is, what did she do? She remembered Elisha and the God of Elisha. She remembered the words of God in her homeland and all the prophet had done. So she recommended the prophet. Again, notice if you would in verse number 3, that exclamation point is expressive of her emotion. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And so we see her compassion here. What she witnessed the prophet do and God do through the prophet. Listen, what she witnessed Elisha do at home, what she witnessed God do at home was greater and meant more to her than her hard feelings. I wonder this morning, does anybody got any hard feelings towards someone? I wonder if anybody has resentment towards someone. This little girl could have held it in, her compassion. She could have said within herself, "Oh, he's going to pay. He took me from home and took me away from my family. I hate him." She could have been like that. But I want to tell you, this was a God-filled little girl. This little girl was a leader among little girls. We need little girls to be leaders among other little girls in a very godly way. Her desire for God and see God move in her weird, odd, stressful, complex situation, her desire was greater for God than it was for the bitterness that she may have had. I would to God this morning that some of these rifts and arguing and things that may be going on in some of our families would stop. I just wish this morning that we would focus on the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and know that God can solve any family problem, any marital problem, any parental problem, any teenager that may be going wayward, God can solve that. But we must choose to focus on the greatness of God more than our bitterness about the situation. This little girl said, "Hey, I have something to say. It may not mean nothing to nobody, but can I speak, madam?" "Go ahead, speak. What is it, darling?" "Well, I know I'm just a little girl, but I remember being back in Israel. This man of God named Elisha, he came around and God was with him and God used him. I don't know exactly all that I'm saying, but I just know that if we could get Naaman there to meet Elisha, that he can be healed." Isn't that amazing? I mean, listen, it was a little girl. It was a complex problem, but she was filled with God, and she remembered how God worked in her life and at home, and she said, "Hey, we need to get Naaman there or get Elijah to him." Listen, what she witnessed the prophet do and God do through that prophet was greater and meant more to her than hard feelings. Let us depend on God to work out our differences. Amen. Let us go to Him. She had compassion. But let me mention something else. Not only she had courage, she had compassion, but she had, and I like this one, credibility. You're not going to believe this. Well, you'll believe it, but just follow me. What's remarkable about this story to me is that Naaman's household, y'all follow me? Naaman's household believed the words of this little girl. She was a captive. Y'all follow me? Y'all follow me back there? She was a captive. She was a slave. And how in the world did Naaman's household believe her? Look at verse number 4. "And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the little maid that is of the land of Israel.'" Why would they even trust her word? Why? Why would they? She was a captive. She was besieged, and all these things. I'll tell you why. Because her words were credible. She had a character that was credible. She had credibility. How you get that, Brother Justin? Because she was credible as a person of faith. Now, verse number 2. She waited on Naaman's wife, and I want to tell you, she obeyed. She was the best servant she could be, Brother Ceylon. She waited on, yeah, she was captive. She didn't get bitter. She knew God was in control. Therefore, she was the best servant she could be, even in a foreign land. You know what God wants out of us? To be the best servant we could be, even when we're going through strange things. God doesn't want us always trying to figure it out. God's in control. He just wants us to be obedient, even in a foreign land. This little girl, she was the best waitress she could be. You're going through what you're going through right now. Be the best servant for God that you could be. Trust Him, as Charles Stanley used to say, and leave all the consequences up to Him, because I guarantee you God is working. God used this little maid They trusted her words because she was a faithful, obedient little maid. Now, she assumed her position, I will say, without compromise to her faith. In a foreign land, as a slave girl, without compromise. We don't see an example that she was challenged to either obey her maid or the household or God. But what we gather from the story is because they trusted her, she was a little girl with credibility. She served wholeheartedly. She did not compromise. And that stuck out to them. We are living in a dark place. Amen? If we say that we're Christians, if we say that we believe this book, let us walk it out. We need some young people who have not just a church attendance, not just a record on the roll, but we need some young people with convictions. Amen. We have so many young people going astray this morning. They're a bunch of followers, and there's leaders, and some of these leaders that are leading our young people are corrupt and are evil. Oh, young person, be like this little maid. Serve God wholeheartedly. No matter what season of life that you're in, be faithful, have convictions, and don't compromise your faith. And then in verse number 3, on top of the testimony she was building there, she said this, I'm going to say something. Doesn't that remind you of a young Esther? Huh? Doesn't it remind you of a young Esther? She says, I've had enough. I'm going to say something. I know I'm in a strange land, but my God is big. I know the answer to Naaman's leprosy is Jesus. Just like Esther. If I perish, I perish. Oh, God, we need some young Esthers. Girls, I'm looking at all of you young girls right now. Oh, and I see the potential for greatness. We're already witnessing a beginning of it. The rose is starting to bud. We see beauty in your life. And all of you have your own story. Some of you have come from ashes, but God is bringing beauty out of it. Be a young Esther. Be a young Esther. While we're living in days, and I'm going to say it, where some of these young girls, they want to be like some of these young rappers. And they're listening to this rap music. And oh, old whoever. Look at whoever on TV. Whew, man, I wish I could be like her and little young girls say. Little boys say the same thing. Making all that money. Got all them girls. Got all that popularity. Man, I wish that was me. Don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into that trap. The grass is not greener on the other side. Watch Israel and how they messed up and messed up and messed up. Look at people in your family. I'm sure you could point them out. I do. In our family, they messed up, they messed up, they messed up. Take them as a testimony to stay with God and don't go dabbling into sin. Oh, man, I wish I could say it. I wish it. This may sound morbid and crazy, but my goodness, I just wish I could explode right now and a big word fly off the screen, fly out and say, Jesus, run to Jesus. That's how I feel in here. I know that's stupid, but that's how I feel. That's how I feel. This young girl was credible. Young person, are you credible? Your faith in God? I mean, we see you singing on stage. We see you ushering in the offering. We see you going to Christian school. And that's great. We see you. That's great. But how is your walk during the week? Does it back up what you say on Sundays? Be credible. So this little maid, she was credible. How is your credibility with man about your faith in God? Are you living out your faith? Can people say about you, they talk it, they walk it, I believe it. I want to come this morning. Her credibility is seen here. Verse number 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And we know what happened. The king of Syria, there was a letter. It was delivered to the king of Israel. And then the connection was made to Elisha. And we know Elisha made the connection there to Naaman. Naaman pitched a fit, but ended up going down, receiving his healing. And as an end result, he was healed, and he trusted in the God of Israel. Be like the little maid, all of us. It may be something foreign. You may be going through something you've never been through before. God is your guide. He is there. Acknowledge Him in everything you do, and He'll direct your steps. Be like the little maid and have courage. Be like this little maid. Have compassion. Be like this little maid and be concerned about your credibility. It's all about our names and the name that we bear this morning. And without credibility, you won't be believed. So let us live our life for the Lord. And if we have messed up, let us make Him Lord of what's left. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You. We've tried our very best to be an encouragement. I know it's a challenge as well, excuse me, but Lord, I pray if someone is here today and they needed this message from Your word, they needed something to challenge them, or maybe someone's here and they're just thankful for how You've been working in their life, maybe they want to come, whatever the case may be, Lord, please give liberty so somebody could come, and if there's someone here that isn't saved, let today be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come, I challenge you to come on the first verse. Someone will meet you here in the altar and pray.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I free.
Anybody else this morning, feel free to come. If you don't need to come, don't come. But if you need to, don't refrain from coming.
His presence daily.
Do business now with the Lord.
I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed.
For these that are down here, maybe you need to come as well. There's still time.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me.
Brave in the Lord this morning.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Just playing softly for a minute while these are still praying. There's time for you if you need to come this morning. Give it a few more seconds and we'll close the service. Anybody else? Amen. We're still aware we have one praying this morning, so we'll be sensitive to him. But we just want to thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Please pick up a bulletin this morning to stay in tune what's going on around here and who to pray for and all of that. We'll have choir practice at 4 o'clock, as Brother Allen mentioned just earlier, and getting ready for Jubilee. And so that's just right around the corner. And getting ready to take off this spring with new things and continuing on to be busy for the Lord. And so I hope you're excited as we are. I know you are. All right. Anything to mention before we close? I think I got it. All right. Well, we'll be dismissing a word of prayer. Everyone have a safe afternoon and enjoy this spring-like weather. You know, Fox 5 this morning showed that we have a groundhog in Georgia, I think it is now, and had a little White House. And he came out of that White House, he was looking around. But anyway, both groundhogs here and over in Pennsylvania say we're going to have a longer winter, but I think we're going to have an early spring. All right, it's up to God. It ain't up to a groundhog. All right, Brother Ceylon, please close us out.